A Yak-42 airliner is down in Russia. A new problem could be serious for the F-35 program. And unions rally to get FAA funding through Congress. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 8th, 2011. Members of the Russian ice hockey team Lokomotiv were among those who died when a Yak-42 jet went down near the city of Yaroslavl on the Volga River Wednesday. The Associated Press reports the plane went down just after takeoff from Yaroslavl. The team was traveling to Minsk for its opening game of the Continental Hockey League season. The team confirmed its 37-man main squad was aboard the flight, and one, Alexander Galimov, was one of only two survivors. The other is the flight engineer. The online news service RT reports an air traffic controller told ITAR TASS that the plane reached an altitude of about 180 feet when it banked left and went down, striking a beacon tower. An investigation is underway. Just weeks after the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter got back to flight testing, a new design problem has cropped up. An aluminum beam in the wing structure has been found defective, an issue that could lower the aircraft's wing life from 8,000 hours, or about 25 operational years, to just 1,200 hours. That equates to about 5 years of flying. Gizmodo quotes F-35 program spokesman Joseph Delavadova as saying, quote, "This is not considered a serious issue," unquote. But Michael Gilmore, the Pentagon's top testing official, tells Bloomberg the fix will be, quote, "a difficult and complex process," unquote, and it will have to come out of the program's existing budget. F-35 development has been plagued by cost overruns and delays. Back in January, then-Defense Secretary Robert Gates put the program on a two-year probation after discovering other structural flaws. Members of at least four aviation employee unions rallied at Washington's Ronald Reagan National Airport Wednesday morning, calling on members of Congress returning from their summer break to immediately pass another FAA funding bill before the current extension runs out September 16th. The Hill reports the Airline Pilots Association, National Air Traffic Controllers Association, the Association of Flight Attendants, and the Allied Pilots Association were all scheduled to have representation at the event. The 13-day partial shutdown of the FAA in July and August idled about 4,000 FAA employees and an estimated 70,000 construction workers on federally funded airport projects around the country. If Congress passes another short-term extension, it will be the FAA's 22nd in a row. The attempt of an Irish cancer survivor to become the first person in history to circumnavigate the globe in an autogyro is again at risk of being interrupted for the winter. Norman Surplus set out from a field near his home in Larne in Northern Ireland on March 22, 2010, for what was expected to be a four-month trip in his open cockpit MT-03 gyroplane with Rotax 914 power. But bureaucratic delays in his own CAA cost him an entire season last year when he needed to get approval on repairs after a forced ditching in a lake in the Philippines. And this summer has not gone well either. China flatly refused to permit him in its airspace, and the alternate route through Japan took weeks to get approved. Now his next leg requires following the east coast of Russia, and bureaucrats there can't help him even if they choose without the approval of the military, which says it isn't interested. Surplus is days away from the closing of his weather window to cross the Bering Straits into Alaska, and missing it will mean pickling the machine for a second winter, this time in Japan. In a September 3rd blog post, Surplus's support team concludes, quote, "Considering what he has been through, it will be a shame that some faceless pen pushers will end this epic, brave, and unique journey that has inspired so many and kept the world on the edge of their seats for so many months," unquote. Japanese regulators finally approved an exemption to allow Surplus in their airspace after embassies worldwide were lobbied by followers of the world record attempt. A similar effort is being applied now to move the Russians. Given the recent resumption of Russian bomber flights into the airspace of other countries without permission, it will be more than a little ironic if they continue to block this request. The National Park Service and the National Park Foundation, the official charity of America's national parks, have announced that former President George W. Bush and current Vice President Joe Biden will speak at this Saturday's dedication ceremony of the Flight 93 National Memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. They'll join Flight 93 family members and friends, special guests and dignitaries, and singer-songwriter Sarah McLachlan will perform. The dedication will be webcast live beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find details at flight93dedication.org. Still ahead, a competitor says the 737 MAX may not buy Boeing much of a breather. New evidence suggests the French may have beat Lindbergh across the Atlantic. And scanners will not be deployed at German airports. You're listening to Aeronews.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 8th. I'm Paul Plagg. Boeing has attracted a new critic of its plan to re-engine the existing 737 product line for increased efficiency. Some analysts say the move could buy Boeing 15 years before it needs to develop an all-new 737 airframe. But David Hess, CEO of engine maker Pratt & Whitney, warns Boeing not to bet on that. Pratt & Whitney makes the new Pure Power geared turbofan engine, which is one of the choices on the Airbus A320neo. The other engine supplier for Airbus's Neo is CFM, whose LeapX engine will go on all re-engine 737s, which are called the 737 MAX. Reuters reports Hess is predicting that Boeing will find the LeapX, which on the 737 will be limited to a fan size of 66 to 68 inches, will fall short of the efficiency delivered by his company's Pure Power engine, which has an 81-inch fan. The current 737 design poses tight limits on engine diameter due to ground clearance issues beneath its wing. Quote, Boeing responded to pressure, and if they feel they don't have a competitive airplane against the A320neo, they may be forced to accelerate or look at their plans, unquote. Hess tells Reuters Pratt & Whitney now has a total of 1,600 orders, including options for its Pure Power engine. On May 8, 1927, as Charles Lindbergh waited for a clearing in the fog on Long Island to launch for Paris in the Spirit of St. Louis, his rival, French World War I ace Charles Nungesser, departed France with navigator François Colly in the opposite direction. But by the time Lindbergh finally departed 12 days later, there had still been no sign of the French team in New York. A sideline to Lindbergh's welcome in Paris was the simultaneous mourning underway for the Frenchmen who were presumed lost at sea. Lindbergh is said to have inquired about any news of his rival after his successful landing. But the French biplane, the Oiseau Blanc, or White Bird, was never found. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports a French aviation enthusiast named Bernard Decray has concluded that the White Bird flew over the south coast of Newfoundland, then ditched off the shore of the Canadian mainland. Last year, he discovered a 1927 U.S. Coast Guard telegram in the U.S. National Archives, which reported a sighting of a pair of joined white wings 3 months after the flight. It jives with his other historical research. There are now plans to employ divers and sonar to try to locate any part of the Oiseau Blanc. Decray notes poignantly, quote, We want to establish the true history of the tragic end of our pilots. Then we want to answer Lindbergh's question by saying, we have now had news of Nungesser, unquote. And finally today, the German Interior Minister has decided that full body scanners will not be deployed at German airports for the time being. But the issue is not privacy or propriety. After about 809,000 passengers voluntarily submitted to scans in a 10-month test, Hans-Peter Friedrich says there are simply too many false positives in the machines, and the scanners slow the lines down too much. Friedrich says the current generation of body scanners, quote, is not yet suitable for general use, despite their high rate of detection, unquote. He says they could be part of the plan, just not routine for everyone yet. In the U.S., late-night TV host Craig Ferguson frequently jokes about the popularity of nude beaches around the world with German tourists, including many who, well, how can I put this delicately? don't contribute to the aesthetics by their presence. So maybe it's no big surprise there hasn't been a privacy outcry over body scanners in Hamburg. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.